D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Derek, live out in Las Vegas at Circa, as the Titans prepare to take on the Las Vegas Raiders on Sunday. And by the way, Titans fans, if you are also in Las Vegas or are planning to go to Las Vegas, you can join up with Derek Mason, Chase McCabe, and Big Joe Dubin at the Overhang Bar at Circa. Drink specials, giveaways, including two tickets to the Titans-Raiders game. Go to CircaLasVegas.com for more information. Derek, when is that get-together, by the way? Do you have a date and time?
I think it's tonight.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So, Titans fans, if you're in Las Vegas, if you are listening to this, head on over to the Overhang Bar at Circa. You can meet Derek Mason, Chase McCabe, Big Joe Dubin, hang out, even win tickets to see the Titans play the Raiders on Sunday. By the way, one texter has let me know that there is no age limit with foam parties. I beg to differ, but I appreciate the texter letting me know that it would be okay for a 36-year-old father of one to go to a foam party.
A great man once said, and we'll bounce this off D-Mace, age is just a number. Am I right, D-Mace? Age is just a number.
Not in every situation.
Not at foam parties? At foam parties, I think age is just a number. Think about Thornton Mellon. We talked about him a couple of Fridays ago, right?
Okay, yeah, you got
when
a point.
I was doing
a point,
I did a radio show from a college dorm room. Age is just a number.
So
Thornton
got a
Mellon,
point.
I don't know if it was a foam party, but he had some fun in the hot tub with some women that he called his nieces when his girlfriend surprised him and showed up at the party.
I remember that.
Diane, say hello to my nieces.
Something tells me that foam parties were not a thing in 1986.
No.
So I don't know if Thornton Mellon ever participated in a foam party.
It was a great party, though, that Thornton Mellon threw in the dorms.
Derek, we are just picturing you at a foam party. Even if you're not.
Even if you're not.
We're going to paint the picture
this
that you are.
This is theater of the mind. This is radio. Unless you're watching on YouTube.
I'm not going to stop y'all. I'm not going to sit here and be, go back and forth with y'all. Hey, if y'all want to believe that, then by golly.
The music is good.
Let's go.
It's good music, so it's a good vibe.
By the end of the program, Derek is going to be doing the show live from the pool. If he has to call us, he'll do it, but we'll see what Derek gets into over the next couple of hours out in Las Vegas. So somebody texted us in the previous segment asking if we watched Cam Scataboo last night with the New York Giants. I saw he had 3 touchdowns. I called it a scat trick. That's probably – somebody else has probably also come up with that, but I haven't heard it, so I'm going to say it was all me. A scat trick, 3 touchdowns from Cam Scataboo. But here is what I'm also wondering. By the way, the Giants defeated the Eagles 34-17 on Thursday Night Football. Jackson Dart, the other quarterback drafted in the first round. Cam Ward, of course, number 1 overall. Jackson Dart later in the first round. Dart, 17 of 25 for 195 yards and a touchdown, plus 13 carries for 58 yards. And a touchdown. So as I caught the extended highlights of the game, because I was at the Predators game last night. Predators win, by the way, 2-1 against the Columbus Blue Jackets. We'll get back into the Predators later in the program. As I watched the extended highlights of the game, I thought to myself, Jackson Dart, he plays for a marquee franchise, the New York Giants. Thursday Night Football, only game on TV, nationally televised. Has a breakout performance against the defending Super Bowl champions. And the Giants double up the Eagles. Again, 34-17. And I'm thinking to myself, how many Titans fans out there right now are having buyer's remorse when it comes to Cam Ward? Because it's been reported that the Giants wanted to move up to number 1 overall to draft Cam Ward, offered the Titans many premium picks. The Titans, of course, turned down the offer and drafted Cam Ward. So as I'm watching that game, Willie, as I'm watching the highlights, I thought to myself, all of these things that I just listed, The fact that it was a nationally televised game. The fact that the Giants soundly defeated the defending Super Bowl champions. I thought to myself, man, there are got to be so many Titans fans out there right now that feel like the Titans made a mistake by drafting Cam Ward.
I'm curious about that because it's easy to be fickle, etc. I didn't see the game. The national story, of course, is what's going on with the Philly squad, because the Eagles have now been outscored for the season, even though they are still 4-2, so they've got time to fix this, but they've looked very gettable for a defending champ. But meanwhile, the Jackson Dart show is going, and he's doing this without Malik Nabers, right? Nabers is out. He's been hurt, so he doesn't have that elite receiver, and he's still finding a way to win. I haven't watched him closely to know why he's doing well. Maybe D-Mace has watched a little bit more than I have. I'm just going to stay consistent with what I've said. I thought they should have taken the package before they ever drafted Cam Ward. So it's not about Cam Ward, really. That decision had to be made before the pick. So it was, to me, about just the percentages, the dart throws, the picks that you were likely to get. Now, ironically, watch the Giants now string off, you know, 6 or 7 wins or even 8 wins on the season, and maybe that package that you would have gotten for the Giants was not as attractive. Yet, I still say they should have taken the picks. That being said, Cam Ward looks still like he can be really good. And we don't know if Jackson Dart is going to be a star yet. We can't just assume that.
Derek, your thoughts on Jackson Dart so far and his performance last night against the Eagles?
Like Willie, I have not watched much of Jackson Dart. I did in college, but not so in the NFL. This is what happens, a few times when you're paying more attention to what seems to be a quarterback success than you are with the development of your quarterback. I'm in the business of watching my quarterback develop, our quarterback, Cam Ward. I'm not in the business of watching Jackson Dart go out there and do the things that he does. I believe the Giants have a better team than the Titans. Yes, their number one receiver is hurt, but I think they have a better team. I think they have a better play caller. I think Brian Daboll is a better play caller. He has more play calling experience. So to me, and he's been at the job a little bit longer. They had a plan going in with Jackson Dart. He wasn't supposed to play, end up playing. He's progressing, I'm sure, sort of the way they want him to. I'm sure it's not all roses and lilies. We're only seeing highlights of Jackson Dart, what they're showing us. We're not seeing play by play by play. We're not seeing the almost interception that he threw or the ball that he dirted. Those are the things they're not talking about, and rightfully so. New York isn't a horrible team, a bad team, a team without young talent. The Titans is a team without young talent or young proven talent. The Giants are a little bit ahead of the Titans in where they want to be as a franchise. I'm not saying that they are light years ahead of the Titans, not even blocks. They are car lengths ahead of the Tigers. I mean, the Titans, maybe one. But I'm in the business of looking at Cam Ward, watching him develop. Jackson Dart, is he playing well? At times, the number says he is. The numbers didn't bear it out the last game, but they won. You know? So, for me, Jackson Dart may be playing well. But I was in the camp of, if you think Cam's your guy, take him. I'm still in the camp of, if you think Cam's your guy, take him. It may work out for the Giants. They may, you know, love Jackson Dart at the end. All I care about is it working out with Cam Ward and you loving Cam Ward. And I think they're headed down the right road.
One texter on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com to my question about buyer's remorse. Absolutely not. Cam is going to be a solid quarterback with or without the Titans. The Titans are literally their own worst enemy. We wouldn't be good if we had the first 5 picks in the draft. And I understand Derek's point. I've watched one full game of Jackson Dart because the Giants played the Saints a couple of weeks ago, and Dart was okay in that game. The issue here is, and I heard Joe Rexroad say this morning, Willie, which is, There were two quarterbacks drafted in the first round, Cam Ward and Jackson Dart. And although Cam Ward had a fabulous end of the game last weekend in Arizona, he hasn't necessarily had that, well, I guess that would have counted as his signature moment, but it's different when Cam Ward has that in a game where a lot of the country isn't watching versus when Jackson Dart has a big game against the defending Super Bowl champions in a divisional matchup on national television. And Rex Rhodes' point was, it's not great for Cam Ward that Jackson Dart, the other quarterback drafted in the first round, had that moment in front of a bigger audience.
I suppose. I don't know what – I don't know the audience of a Thursday night game. That, you know, for me, Thursday night is just packed with so many other things. I haven't been focusing as much. That's just me. And Dart was good. He had 195 yards. You know, his QBR was really good. His passer rating was really good. I'm just going by the stats. And you beat the Super Bowl champs. So if you're the Giants and their fans, you're thrilled just because to have success like that this early is pretty significant. So, yeah, but you can't – all that stuff that you just mentioned with Joe, it's – you can't worry about that. You have to have your eye on the big picture if you're the Titans. There's nothing you can do about this now. You are going to have to live with this. But you made your decision, and now it's all about insulating and giving your quarterback a chance to succeed, which is why, to me, the number one theme of this game is, A, can you build on what you did, but also can Latham – his presence improve the offensive line. If I want to see what Cam Ward looks like, if he can have improved offensive line play week in and week out, that is really going to be a great litmus test.
One texter, David in Paris on our text line, says, what percentage do you give Ward's troubles to coaching? And do you think Dart would be talked about as much if he were playing here? First, to answer the second, I'll let Derek answer the first question. The second question is no, because we're Nashville, and they're New York. And we are becoming a big city, but we're not New York. So if Jackson Dart were playing here, he would not be getting as much attention. Just think about how much time we spent talking about the fact that Cam Ward wasn't getting a lot of attention despite being the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. So to me, the second question, David in Paris, is absolutely not. If Dart were playing here, Nobody, would be paying attention to Jackson Dart. But Derek, answer the first question. What percentage do you give Ward's troubles so far this season to coaching?
Oh, man. I think there's – now, when you say coaching, you mean play calling?
The texter only said coaching, so I think you can take it wherever you want to go.
Yeah, I mean, that's subjective. It could be play calling. It could be just him being a manager of the team because now his play calling has been stripped of him. But if you're talking about from a play calling standpoint, I don't think they have put Cam Ward in a bad situation. I just think the roster around the quarterback isn't where it needs to be. They don't have enough young players or proven young players on this team yet. The young guys that are playing, it's their first year, and they're still learning a lot of things. And then now you got guys that are young, but they were injured. Now they're coming back in Spears. So when I look at the Titans, it's, to me, it's about what Brian Callahan can continue to do moving forward. From a play calling standpoint, he has no control over that anymore. I don't think he put him behind the eight ball when it comes to play calling. I just think the roster's not good and you can only call so much. The offensive line didn't play well the first three or four games. Well, at least, you know, two to three of them didn't play well. So when your offensive line isn't in rhythm, there isn't in sync, and you don't have enough time to throw or you're getting rushed, It puts you behind the eight ball. It causes you not to be able to call some of the things that you probably want to call to help the quarterback develop. I don't think in any way they've done anything to help this quarterback not develop from a play-calling standpoint. Now, Brian Callahan has done some things as far as, you know, not challenging things and what he did right before the half. But as a whole, if you're just talking about the play-calling, but as a whole, I don't think he's done much, at least the coaching staff. They're just working with the talent that they have. And we all know, we watch it every Sunday just about. We all know this team is, they lack talent on this team. Not to say that they don't have any, they just lack enough of it.
Ricky on our YouTube chat says, Jackson Dart is Will Levis with a better coach. They aren't in the same stratosphere with Cam on leadership and clutch. Abel, it's the coaching staff that I have buyer's remorse for. Giants and Carolina and all these teams scoring 30-plus points and the Titans can't score at all. So I blame Callahan and this management. The Titans have the worst coaching staff in the NFL easily. We'll continue this conversation with Chad Withrow from Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick coming up next. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Stephen Brentwood, by the way, says, is Derek broadcasting from a disco? Not quite, Steve. Derek is live in Las Vegas at Circa, nearby the pool. There may or may not be a foam party. We cannot confirm.
Nor deny.
But that is where Derek is right now. And if you are going to Las Vegas for the Titans-Raiders game, or if you're there now, you can find Derek Mason, Chase McCabe, and Big Joe Dubin. They will be at the Overhang Bar inside Circa later tonight. Go see them. You can win some prizes, including two tickets to the game on Sunday between the Titans and the Raiders. 615-737-1025. Speaking of Circa, our show will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circa Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall on Monday. Prior to the Monday Night Football game, head up there and watch the Monday Night games as the Bills take on the Falcons and the Bears face the Commanders. D-Mace, Vingit, and Donick, 1025 the game. Gotta love Depeche Mode. Good call, Willie Donick. Good call.
Yes. A little Techno Friday today.
A little Policy of Truth.
DJ Will. Yeah. Policy of Truth.
I know my Depeche Mode.
Oh, you know your Depeche Mode. What album is this on?
Is this Violator?
Yes. Nice job,
there
Adam.
There we go.
A plus.
Chad Withrow did not know that. I guarantee you Chad Withrow did not know that.
Chad Withrow on our phone line. Driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com from Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Are you a Depeche Mode fan, Chad Withrow?
I am a Depeche Mode fan, but I'd have to Google album names to try to just throw one back at you guys. The Violator pool was quite impressive.
That was impressive.
Thank you.
Adam was maybe like zero years old. I knew that was Depeche Mode. So that's one for me. When I heard the music, I'm like, oh, that's Depeche Mode. So that's at least nice. And I am a fan, but I couldn't give you the album.
That album, by the way, was released 5 days before my first birthday.
I figured that was about right.
But let's talk Titans, Chad. Titans at Raiders in Las Vegas. That's where Derek is, by the way, on Sunday afternoon. It feels kind of weird to say this, Chad, when you're looking at a game between a 1-4 team and a 1-4 team. But this feels like a pivotal game for the Titans and specifically Brian Callahan to prove that they can build off of an improbable win last week. Do you share the same feeling I do about this game from the Titans' perspective?
Yeah, I mean, of follow-up games to what was one of the most improbable wins of the year by any team against Arizona. Yeah, I think the first thing I thought was, will the Titans actually be favored in this game? When I saw what the Raiders were doing against the Colts last Sunday, now they're not. I think it's a 3.5-point favorite for the Raiders.
I'm surprised at that. Are you, Chad? I could be wrong, but it's 3.5 seems a little much. This to me feels more like a pick 'em game.
Yeah, I think if it was, you know, if the game is in Nashville, and I know it's not a huge, you know, home field advantage right now for the Titans, but if the Raiders had to travel across the country, I'd say maybe it's, you know, Titans minus 1.5 or a pick 'em. 3.5 did feel a little odd, especially now with no Brock Bowers, we know, for the Raiders. So, yeah, I mean, it's a very winnable game for the Titans. And I think for Brian Callahan, if you can just show, hey, we're not the worst team in the league, right? Like right now the Jets are 0-5. The Giants last night got to 2-4. you know, if you can get into that mix that it looks like things are improving, and especially for Cam Ward, that's only going to serve Brian Callahan well. And I think that's the goal now. You know, this it's not like they're going to turn around and be a playoff team this year or anything like that. But can you look like you're making marginal improvements with the roster that you have, given the injury situation? But most importantly, is your rookie quarterback getting better and better? And if that's the case, then, you know, maybe Brian Callahan ends up having a shot.
Chad, we were just talking about the Giants' win on Thursday Night Football against the Philadelphia Eagles last night. 34-17, not to disregard Cam Scatabu's three touchdowns, which I am calling the scat trick. But Jackson Dart, 195 passing yards and a touchdown, 13 carries for 58 yards and a touchdown. How does Jackson Dart's performance last night make you feel about Cam Ward?
Well, he looks a lot better than Cam Ward. Now, what we don't know is that a coaching issue? Is that a personnel issue? Obviously, Cam Scatabu is a great player. And you know, you see a guy, he's drafted like in the low 100s. And I'm thinking, how does this happen with someone as productive as he was in college? Not that we couldn't see this, that he could be a productive player in the NFL. But, yeah, I mean, it doesn't look great for Cam Ward when Jackson Dart can get in. And I think they're 2-1 now with him as the starter for the Giants. So it's been a huge improvement. But, again, I don't want to say that this is all on Cam with whatever's going on with the Titans. But I know Jonathan Hutton, who you guys have on, also threw this stat out. Cam Ward was like 15 of 40 in the last game and a half up until the fourth quarter on Sunday. And then he has that great drive and gets it going late in the game. But just a miserable stretch for him in the offense. So, yeah, I mean, if I'm looking at rookie quarterbacks right now, Jackson Dart is off to a much better start than Cam Ward.
Chad Withrow is with us. So, Chad, we've had this debate earlier this week. And I think when they botched the field goal and had that debacle against the Colts, I think a lot of people right there basically said, that's it. He's dead man walking, Callahan. And then, of course, he gives up the play calling duties, etc. So, do you think there is a pathway for him to be the coach to start next year?
I think that there is. I think the odds of him actually navigating that pathway, Willie, effectively, is extremely low based on what we've seen. First off, the roster works against you. Jeffrey Simmons is having a hell of a year. I mean, that's one guy you can look at and say, okay, he's doing what he needs to do, and even then some. I think he's been incredible so far this season. Outside of that, it's tough to look around and say, boy, you got these guys who are either playing to their level or above their level where you need them to be. And that ultimately is a Brian Callahan problem as well. So, yeah, look, I think there is a path for him to win enough to where, look, I wouldn't think this. I think they need to move on at the end of the year regardless. But let's say they go, I don't know, you know, 6-11. Let's say 7-10 at the end of the year. There is a world where Amy Adams Strunk could look at that and say, boy, they started terribly. They got a bunch of breaks at the end of the Arizona game, but they pulled it together and started winning some games. And the quarterback looks good and got better as the year went on. We're not going to replace that quarterback's OC and head coach with someone new and start a new system. Is that going to happen? I don't think so. I don't think there's any way they're going to win that many games. So I think he's done at the end of the year. But, I mean, we've seen crazy things happen in sports before, where the Titans were handed that game by Arizona and they end up winning it in the end, and then things start to fall your way a little bit. Maybe that happens with this team, but I just don't see it.
Let's switch to college. You've got the big Red River game tomorrow, another spotlight game for Arch Manning, and it hasn't gotten better yet. We had this conversation before the season started about just how this would go, how Tennessee fans feel, SEC traditional fans feel. This is really unfolding in a way that I did not expect at all. What are we going to see tomorrow?
Yeah, it's crazy. Not just Arch Manning, too. I mean, the thing about the quarterbacks, Willie, that we thought we knew were good coming into this year, Garrett Nussmeier, I know he's got the abdominal injury, and he struggled. DJ Lagway struggled up until last week. Cade Klubnik got worse from 1 year to the next. It's amazing to see guys that not a lot changed around them, but yet they got worse quarterback-wise from 1 year to the next. Arch Manning's been a huge disappointment. I see Texas favored in this game, and I'm thinking, well, Vegas must know that John Mateer is not going to play. Even though there's a lot of questions about his availability, I don't think he's going to be 100%, and he probably won't even play. So if that happens, then, yeah, I think Texas probably has an advantage, but I don't think anyone could have seen their offense looking this bad this year. I mean, think of it from a Vanderbilt perspective. I came into the year thinking, oh, that's definitely a loss for Vandy at Texas. And then I look at it now and I think, Vandy played with Texas a year ago. This Texas team looks far worse. That's a winnable game for Vanderbilt now. So Texas is rough. I mean, they rushed for 11 yards against Florida last week. They're rushing for like 2 yards per carry. Their offensive line is a turnstile right now. It looks really bad for Steve Sarkisian, and it's kind of hard to explain given what they were able to accomplish last year.
We've seen some very bizarre games over the years between Tennessee and Arkansas. Now, D-Mace has picked Arkansas in the underdog picks, Chad. I know you have probably been made aware of that because D-Mace carries weight around this town.
Yes.
But you always talk about, you know, avoiding the bad performance at the wrong time if you're Tennessee. How does this one shake out to you with Bobby Petrino at the helm?
Well, I think, you know, I would feel a lot better about D-Mace's pick if this game was in Fayetteville, first off. I think the difference here is Josh Heupel's 25-2 over the last four seasons at Neyland Stadium. Those two losses were to Georgia, both of them. Hasn't lost to anybody else. So he's been really good in Knoxville. Look, Arkansas is tough to figure out because they haven't had a single issue on offense all season up until that Notre Dame game where they get blown out and it's the end for Sam Pittman. So I don't know what Bobby Petrino really changes on offense given their production so far has been really good. I mean, they're going to go for a few more fourth downs. They're going to try an onside kick. They might try a fake punt in this game with nothing to lose. So maybe the play calling, you know, gets a little bit dicier for them. But to think that their defense, which has been awful all season long, you're going to fire three defensive assistants and suddenly be good on defense, I have a hard time believing that's going to happen. Now, Tennessee's going to have to score a lot of points in this game. I mean, Arkansas will score. Tennessee's defense has some holes, especially at safety. So I think they're going to have a hard time holding Arkansas down. But I think Tennessee can name their score offensively. If they don't turn the ball over a bunch, Tennessee's going to do whatever they want offensively in this game too. So, look, crazier things have happened. We saw Nico and UCLA beat James Franklin and Penn State a week ago as a 24.5 point underdog. This wouldn't be that wild to happen, but I just have a hard time seeing how all these changes are going to lead to the team playing inspired, you know, under the great motivator Bobby Petrino, and suddenly we see a different defense out there tomorrow for Arkansas.
We'll talk with Chad Withrow discussing college football as well as the NFL. Now, with looking at the SEC, do you consider Alabama the cream of the crop right at this moment, or do you think there will be continued jockeying for that position as the season goes on?
Yeah, I think Texas A&M's got something to say about that, D-Mace, when I watched them. That's an interesting game tomorrow for them with Florida, who seemed to get a little bit of their swagger back against Texas. Yeah, look, the way they've played the last few weeks, I put Alabama right up there. You know, Oklahoma, can they win? If they beat Texas with a backup quarterback, I think we're talking a lot more about Oklahoma. This is also the game that Kalen DeBoer loses, right? He doesn't lose the big games. He beats Georgia a year ago. They go to LSU and they blow out the Tigers a year ago. This year they go to Georgia and win. They beat Vandy in a big spotlight game where College Game Day's there. Looked pretty good doing so. This is the game, though. You know, they go to Missouri and lose. They go to Oklahoma a year ago as a big favorite and lose the game. So I'm watching this game and the game at South Carolina. I think they're going to be ready and play well against Tennessee and in Tuscaloosa next week. But I'm kind of circling these two games as big tests for Alabama.
Now, switching back over to the NFL, how do you think eventually this team looks when they get healthy? Spears came back last week, still look rusty, obviously, but the more and more he can play, I think the better he will get. You got JC coming back this game. So as these guys that they've counted on start to come back, how do you think this sort of ends up for the Titans? Do you think they will still be sort of the team that, yeah, they got a few players, but they just did that the roster's still not there? Or do you think there can be some improvement with those guys coming back?
I mean, I think there's going to be some improvement with those guys coming back. But they're better players than who's been playing so far, especially with Latham coming back. But, I mean, how much better can they get? I don't know. I think the biggest thing is, you know, we talk so much about Cam Ward, but Io Manor, you know, how does he continue to progress? Like, I want to see how these guys, the Titans have some guys they probably need to trade and get either younger assets or draft picks for that I'm not as concerned about. But I'm really concerned about Gunnar Helm as an example. Let's see what we got with Gunnar Helm. Let's see what we got with Alec Iremanner. I'm looking at those guys if I'm the Titans and thinking, can we build around these players? Skoronski is playing well as an example. Let's look at what we have and what we feel good about. And I think some of these guys, like a Tajay Spears coming back, you can now look at them and say, all right, do we want to go to war with these guys moving forward? Or is this just part of the purge that's bound to happen with the coaching staff and everything else? And I think that's what, if you're Mike Borgonzi, if you're Chad Brinker, if you're the front office, and if they're the ones making the decision moving forward, we don't know until after the season. But if they are, you really got to take stock of what you have on this team. And to be able to know, you need these guys to be healthy and playing. So I think that's the biggest benefit, is now you get to see them in more games because they're not going to be sidelined.
Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. He joins us every Friday afternoon. Chad, great stuff as always, my friend. We will catch up next week.
Always fun, guys. Have a great weekend.
You as well. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Tennessee Titans. We'll also look ahead to some of the action in the SEC this weekend. A lot of intriguing matchups in that conference. 615-737-1025. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick is presented to you by Bax Homeworks. Financing options are available to make your remodel easier than you think with Bax Homeworks. You can get that free estimate right now at baxhomeworks.com.
Techno.
I'm just imagining
just
Willie.
Let it build for a second. Yep.
Okay,
this
hold on.
This is the 80s
all
picture.
Right.
Donick
dance
in the short is. In the short shorts.
With
going
the
up the
court.
Dance it is.
Little spin move, crossover, inside out. Yes.
I'm getting it, man.
I'm just imagining Willie with a keytar. I can imagine Willie playing a keytar in the 80s. Are you familiar with a keytar? It's the guitar-looking
yes.
thing?
Yes, but it's a keyboard
it's
on
a keyboard.
The guitar with
yeah.
the neck and everything.
Yes.
Information Society, I'll have you know, the band here, performed at Disney World for what we call Grad Night, where you take the old yellow bus, all the seniors, you load up on the bus, school small around middle Central Florida, and you go to the Magic Kingdom all night long. Do you want to know who the bands were playing?
I want to hear this,
okay.
Yes.
D-Mace, let me just bring you back in time, okay?
Yes.
You had a little Information Society, Samantha Fox, the New Kids on the Block, Midnight Star, D-Mace.
Oh, yeah.
Midnight Star.
Okay.
I made
going.
Sure I got to see them. They were good. I'm trying to think if there was one more. There's a couple more. But that was, it was not like A-list bands, but they were like bands, like obviously New Kids on the Block was on the rise. It was before they.
They were literally New Kids on the Block.
Yes, they
the
were
time.
New.
Now they're old kids on the block.
Yes, they are, and they still perform. They probably made it big more than any of the groups. Information Society kind of fizzled after that.
It's kind of a strange name for a band. Information Society.
Yes. I don't know where that came from.
Sounds like a extracurricular club at high school. It's like, hey, you want to join the Information Society?
I'm sure
Nerd.
Our younger audience are like, oh, get out of the 80s, man. Get out of the 80s. Although I find that the younger generation likes the 80s stuff. They like it.
Willie, do me a favor. Because Derek, as you mentioned, chose Arkansas to upset Tennessee in silly underdog picks. By the way, I'm already a loser in silly underdog picks as Tulane defeated East Carolina by a touchdown last night. East Carolina led going into the fourth quarter, but the Pirates were unable to get the job done. Dang it. But tell me what the line was when Derek picked that game. Do you have that in the scrolls? Because the line at the moment is Tennessee minus 9.5. And I want to say it was 12.5.
Indeed it was.
12.5.
Yes.
So how did that change so dramatically, you think?
Well, I was hoping that Chad would kind of explain that, but I don't know. He mentioned that Tennessee has an issue at safety. Maybe it's just one of those things where they're trying to balance the books, as they say. So I can't give you an answer. I am curious of what Chad, because Arkansas, they are dangerous offensively. When I have watched them play, they have some talent. They got some dudes that when they get going downhill, like, they are dangerous. The Memphis game was a track meet. The issue was not offense for Arkansas. It was defense.
And fumbling the ball.
Yes. Arkansas also cannot get out of their own way. That's another problem. They have hurt themselves a lot. Now, I didn't see the collapse against Notre Dame where they got completely annihilated. But this is my theory. And it's not my theory. Derek, it's Mitch Light's theory of you see teams run hot and cold week to week. There's not quite as much consistency from the top teams and poorness from the bottom teams. I think you tune in the TV one week, a team can look really good. Then the next week, not quite as good. Like Ole Miss is the cat's meow right now. But could they level off with the teams they play? I think possibly, right? LSU was ranked way up. They've hit a little dip. Can they come back up? South Carolina completely has been off the radar since they lost to Vanderbilt. Could they creep back in? Like, they play at LSU tomorrow. And so Arkansas, I think, D-Mace, is capable, talent-wise, if they cannot screw everything up and hurt themselves, of challenging Tennessee. I don't know if they're going to win, though. You surprised me when you picked them.
No, I think, like last year, and like, you know, just about every year, but I'm talking about Tennessee more specifically, just like last year, this was a game they were supposed to win. And for whatever reason, as we've seen each and every year in the college football, there are those games where the point spread is, yeah, you should win. It's a no-brainer. And it ends up being not that. We saw that last week. 24-point dog, UCLA, they end up winning a game. Why? Because Penn State didn't come out and play. And when they chose to play, it was a little bit too late. Arkansas, the one thing that Arkansas can do very well is score points. The only thing they need to do is for Tennessee to make a few mistakes. And if they make a few mistakes, that's going to do them in. Because I think they're going to get that. Even though Petrino was already calling the plays, I think they do get that bump from having a new coach. I think the attitude in the building changes, at least for one game. So that's why I am picking Arkansas. I just think that Tennessee is primed for a defeat. Now, if they don't lose, if Tennessee wins this game, it would be hard for me to say Tennessee loses moving forward, because I think anything after this game is they'll be ready. But this is the game, not to say that they're not going to be ready, but just maybe this is that game, just like it has been for many other teams each and every year, where for whatever reason you come out flat. You don't think Penn State went out there with the mindset to win the game? Yeah, they did. They thought they were going to win. They prepared to win. But on game day, something switched. Whatever it was, something switched. And UCLA looked like the better team last week. That may end up happening this week. If it wasn't for silly underdogs, I wouldn't pick Arkansas. But because, I think Arkansas is going to win.
By the way, if I am not mistaken, the only loss following an open week suffered by the Volunteers since Josh Heupel became coach was last season against Arkansas. So just keep that in mind. With Tennessee off last week. Let's go to Ryan on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Ryan, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
What's going on, guys?
How are you?
Doing well. I got a question for Willie, or a comment and a question. Do you still think Vandy makes the playoff?
Still? What do you mean? You have not heard Coach Willie.
Coach Willie has said no such thing.
That Vanderbilt will make the playoff. Those words have not come out of my mouth.
Yes. You must not know Coach Willie,
Coach
Ryan. There is a difference between Willie Donick and
not.
Coach Willie.
Now.
Coach Willie.
Okay. this is Coach Willie's approach on this. They've got the bye week this week. I feel like their performance at Alabama can tell you that if they can play their best, they are capable of winning any game on their schedule remaining. But they're also capable, I think, of losing every game on their schedule remaining. And that's where my Mitch Light theory is coming in. He used a good example. Texas A&M right now is kind of the trendy team. Florida looked like they were completely checked out. They put together a very strong performance last week at home against Texas and beat them, and beat them soundly. So can they go on the road against Texas? Will Texas A&M have a dud? So my thought is, Ryan, Vanderbilt is going to win some, lose some between now and the end of the season. They play good teams. They're not going to beat them all, and they would have to probably beat all but one. So that would include losing no more than one of these games.
Yeah,
LSU,
I agree.
LSU, Auburn, Kentucky, Missouri, Tennessee. Those are the five games. And am I missing one? Did I say Auburn?
No, you're right on. I got a question about the Preds game last night. Who do you think won the forecheck battle last night?
Thank you for the call, Ryan. Who won the forecheck battle last night? That's an interesting question. We will get back into the Predators,
yeah,
by
we're
the
gonna,
way.
We're going to circle back to the Predators later.
Okay,
right?
So put a pin in that, Ryan. We will attempt to answer your question.
I mean, it was okay. The forecheck is going to need to be an important thing. I thought the forecheck of the bottom two lines was actually pretty good. Eric Halla's line and Michael McCarron's line.
By the way, David in Arkansas says, D-Mace, you were already one of my favorites, but now you're getting a huge bump picking the Hogs. Woo, pig! That's from David in Arkansas. And speaking of D-Mace, it is time for Ask D-Mace Las Vegas edition. If you have a question if you have a question, you can call or text us at 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Derek also tells us he has a wild story for us, and I told him not to tell us until 5 o'clock. So we will hear that story coming up next. And if you have a question for Derek, call or text 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.